1. I think the Lord has for us. I have a short video clip here I wanted to just bring to you. How many of you realize that today is April Fool's Day? All right, how many of you have been fooled on April Fool's Day? Cookie, what happened to you today? April Fool's. All right, who else? Anyone else? Brandon? What happened to you, Brandon? Yeah, go right ahead. All right. Anyone else? Anyone else get caught today for April Fools? Well, this is the first year anniversary that I proposed to my dear wife here, Miss Shauna. Yes, I did it on April Fools. At first, it was not on purpose. I didn't think about the date, but it was no. She might have been the fool for accepting it, but I was no fool for asking. So, anyway, we've got a short video clip here, and kind of goes along with the message. So, if you'll watch this as Brother Matt plays it.
You know, life is full of opportunities. But do you know what happens to those that are missed? They all end up here. We put a code on each and every one of them, and we store them. Are you looking for an opportunity you missed?
Maybe.
But you do realize that when an opportunity is missed, it might not come back.
Yes, I know.
All right. So, hopefully you understand that what's the message tonight? Missed opportunities, thank you. Missed opportunities. No, it wasn't clowns. Elephants? Oh, no. It's not about the circus. Apparently, a lot of people have missed the opportunity to join the circus because there's elephants, clowns, and those kind of people on there. But it's about missed opportunities. In Matthew chapter 21, if you'll turn there. Of course, tonight we're not going to be talking about those missed opportunities, the opportunity to go scuba diving down to the Great Barrier Reef or to be an astronaut or anything like that. We're talking about missed opportunities for God. All right, Matthew chapter 21. We're going to read verses 18. Start at verse 18. Matthew 21, 18 says, "Now in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon, but leaves only, and said unto it, Let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, How soon is the fig tree withered away? Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto the mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive." Now, that verse right there is a good one for tonight because we are going to be going to prayer here shortly. And we've got a great promise here that it says that if we pray something and believe that God will accomplish it for us. What a great promise that is to us as believers, that God hears our every word, and even knows our thoughts, and he's willing to provide the things that we need. And that's a great blessing to us. How many of you have ever heard the poet that said, it goes like this, it's part of a poem, it says, "The saddest words of tongue or pen are simply these, it might have been." You ever heard that part of the poem? How often have we missed opportunities to do things for Christ? Missed opportunities for service, missed opportunities to worship him. In our text this evening, we have one kind of unusual event dealing with a fig tree. And we might be wondering why he treated the fig tree as if it was a moral person, if it was someone that could respond to him. He said that he was hungry. Jesus Christ, we remember, it was just like each and every one of us. He hungered, he thirsted, he felt pain, he felt love. He was just like one of us. But why would he blame this tree and in this way? It's kind of like blaming a tire for going flat. Well, something had to happen to the tire for it to go flat. How could he expect figs from the fig tree there? If you look in the book of Mark, and when it gives the story, it says that it is not time for figs. So why does he walk toward the tree expecting food to find something to eat? This is the Son of God. He knew that the tree didn't have any fruit. He knew that it didn't have any figs, anything good for him to eat. So why did he do this? Well, of course, our God is an all-powerful, all-knowing God. He's ever-present. He's everywhere. He knows everything. He could have spoke, and the tree would have produced fruit, wouldn't it? He could have, if he was hungry, he could have held out his hand and a loaf of bread been in his hand. But he did everything for a purpose, and this was for a purpose. It was a purpose that he needed to teach someone, teach us something. And this is something that he wanted to teach his disciples, the nation of Israel, and even us. Some important truths that he had. Jesus Christ has absolute power over all the universe. What was his expectations? Well, his expectation for the fig tree was that the tree looked healthy. It was full of leaves. He was hungry, so he should find some fruit there. But the tree didn't have any fruit. So even though there was an expectation, everything looked good about the tree. It looked like it was doing fine. There was no fruit. The tree was not dead. It had everything it needed to produce fruit. It had the sunshine. It had been watered. And what was the tree's purpose? Well, what a tree produces for man. A fig tree is supposed to produce fruit, figs. His judgment upon the tree, what was that? That no fruit ever would come from it. From that moment, the fig tree began to wither away. His disciples took note and were amazed. Why is that? It was done for their benefit. This passage here in Matthew chapter 21 is Jesus' last week here on earth before he was crucified. These are things that happened the week up to him being killed and all those kind of things. It's happened after Palm Sunday, where he rode in on the donkey, image of what he was there. He was the Messiah. But there are some things that he wanted to teach the disciples, the Israelites, and future generations, us, of very importance. So before he went through those things, he left this story. It was an opportunity to teach a powerful lesson to us. It was a lesson of great power. In a few days, of course, you know, most of you, I hope, would know what would happen to Jesus Christ. He would go to the Garden of Gethsemane. He would go through a prayer that was so excruciating that it said that sweat drops as blood. He would be handed over by one of his disciples, Judas, that she called friend. He would be mocked. He would be captured or given up to the people, so not necessarily captured. He would stand in front of judges, and they would persecute him. He would be mocked, and they would beat him within an inch of his life, literally. They beat him so many times that if they had hit him one more time with a cat of nine tails, they couldn't ever touch him again. That was Roman law. So he would have to carry his own burden, his own cross, and be nailed to it. These are all the things that are going on. And he knows these things are going to happen, yet he still is willing to do that for us because he loves us so much. And that is his great power for us, his love. Turn to John chapter 10. In your Bibles, John chapter 10. Verse 17 says, and 18, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. You see, this is not something that Jesus could have had to do. He could have walked away. He could have said, the price is too great. But why did he? Because of love. Because he loved us. He knew he was the only way that we could ever go to heaven. We were the only way that he was the only way that we could have access to the Father. See, before this, we had the temple, and you had to go make sacrifices to the temple and to the priest, and then the priest would take that and make sacrifices for you. And there is a great curtain there, so that nobody except the one man could go there. And, you know, that's the problem that we have with some of our other denominational friends, is that Christ paid that price, so we would have immediate access to our Father, to Jesus Christ. There's no man that stands between us and God. When we pray to God. We don't pray to Mary. We don't pray to St. Barnabas, St. Bernard, all those. We don't pray to those. We pray to God the Father, because he's the one that we have access to. He's the one that has power over all those things. So the veil of the temple was split in two from the top to the bottom. It was a leather curtain. So this is not something that even Brother Mark could do. All right, this had to be something that only God could do, from the top to the bottom, split in half. Now, Brother Mark can do phone books. If you ever want to see that, he can tear a phone book apart. But this is something that only God could do. And we have direct access to God because of this. Otherwise, we would still be making the sacrifices. And there would still have to be the price paid. What about the symbolism of the fig tree? Israel had great opportunity, but it failed miserably. I think of the story of the children of Israel with Moses. You see, they because of turning away from God, they were in Egypt, and they were brought under slavery. Now, it was not God's plan from the beginning. His plan was for them to be there for a little while and then to bring them into Canaan land. But because they left off God and they started following other gods, the gods of the Egyptians, that they were bound there in slavery for 400 years, I think. 400 years. Is it 500? I can't remember. Four? All right, four. Sorry. 400 years. And it took Moses going back to the children of Israel and leading them out of slavery. But that didn't end there. Even though that God provided himself as a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day, he led them to the Red Sea. He parted the Red Sea. They walked over on dry land. Did that satisfy them? No. They said to Moses, why have you brought us out here to die? We would have been better if we died back in Egypt. So again, the children of Israel, this was a symbolic of them, that they had everything that they needed to do to produce fruit, but they didn't. They were just like that fig tree. There is an appearance of outward righteousness of the fig tree. Just like there is appearance of the Pharisees that would go out and they would go out in front of everyone and they would say, "Oh God," and they would make a big ordeal about what they were saying, what they were praying. It was showy, just like that fig tree had all the leaves that it needed. It looked good. The Pharisees looked good. But we also see that God said, it's better for the person that hides in a closet and prays than someone that prays for everyone to look at. Matthew 23:27 says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones, and of all uncleanness." Verse 28, "Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity." And that's how Israel was. And that's how a lot of times we are. We want to put up a show of how righteous and how good we are, how that we can do good works, but on the inside we're rotten. And we were not producing any fruit. What is the fruit of a Christian? Other Christians. We need to be busy producing that. He saw the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy concerning Israel. Isaiah 29:13 says, "Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as his people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men." We're not supposed to be going by what men say. We're supposed to be going by what God says. You know, and I don't want to get political here, but just let me tell you this. I don't care what man says about different sins. It's what God says that's an important part. This is where we stand on God's word, not on whose feelings we're going to hurt. You know, I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings, but when it comes to God and when it comes to his commandments, we've got to stick by the word, no matter what the consequences are. And church, I'm afraid we're going to have some hard consequences here soon. If the Lord doesn't tarry, our consequences are going to start biting us. And it's not because we give in to them. We'd have to deal with God in that way. But we're going to have to deal with people that want to come into the church and make this into a worldly community instead of a godly house of worship. That's what's going to happen. If you want to know more details on that, come to Sunday school in my class next week. But that's what God has for us. We've got to stand by his word, and we have to be filled inside the church so that we can witness to the people outside. That's how we're going to bear fruit. We can have our church building looking good. And I appreciate every single person that came out and helped on the inside, the outside of the building. I appreciate all the people that worked on the barn when it was built. I appreciate Brother Tom coming and fixing the roof for us. I appreciate that. But if we just are here to look good, then there's no fruit that's going to come from that. We can be a country club, you know. It would be nice to come in here and sing Kumbaya and tell everybody what a joy it is to see them every day. And we could probably even get a bigger crowd. We could. If Brother Larry didn't preach about sin and people wouldn't feel bad, well, they've told us. People have told us, "I feel bad when I leave your church." Well, it's because the conviction of the Holy Spirit. It's not because you changed and you're leaving better than what you come in with. That's what God's plan is. We come into the church, we feel his conviction, we get it taken care of at the altar, and then we go out and live a better life. Amen. That's the goal. That's why we're here. But just like the Israelites, we're going away from that. And society, let me just say this. Think about the changes that's happened in the last, let's see, that would have been 93, about 20 years. All right, think about when the law that causing everyone so much pain right now was passed in 1993 by a Democratic president, and what it's going through now, passed by a Republican governor, and see the difference. No one gave any care to it back in 1993, 22 years later, it's a mess. Why? Did the Word of God change? No. Who changed? Society. Society has gotten worse. And we have to stand up and say, it doesn't matter what anybody else says. It's just what this says. Whatever this says is what I have to do, because I want that close relationship with God. Even affects other relationships with other people. My relationship with God is first and foremost. God judged Israel for their failure. He did dry them up. Israel not only was there with the Roman Empire, they never again become their own nation until 1948 or 49. That many years, over a millennium, it took them. And why did they become, why is it now that they've become able to be their own country? Well, it's because God has an end plan, and that's part of his end plan. But they still don't dwell in safety. Every single neighbor would love to take them out. So Israel was judged to bear no more fruit. And so he went to, so that fruit tree dried up. And he gathered unto himself another tree, which is us. The tree has a purpose to bear fruit, and we have a purpose to bear fruit. John 15:8 says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples." If we're going to be God's disciples, if we're going to be Christ-like, it says that we have to bear fruit. One day, you see, God will examine our lives. He's going to examine what we've produced, just like that fig tree. He'll be expecting to find fruit. He'll be disappointed if he finds none. Romans 14:10 says, "But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ, for it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." 1 Corinthians 3:13 says, "Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is." You see, at the judgment seat of Christ, he's going to look at our lives. He's going to look at our fruit that we've produced. It's going to be filled. There's going to be gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. The gold, the silver, the special, and the precious stones are things that we've done for Christ. Those are the things that are going to last eternity. The wood, the hay, the stubble are the things that we've done for ourselves or for other man's glory. And God's going to take it and say it's going to be tried by fire. Well, what happens to those things? Well, silver, gold, precious stones, they're used to pressure. They're used to heat. They get better with those kind of things. But the way wood, hay, stubble are going to just burn away. So what you're going to be left with is what you've done for Christ in all eternity. And he's going to look and he's going to see that as a symbol of your fruit. And that symbol of your fruit, what are you going to think then? Are you going to be embarrassed? Did you do your all for that? Eternity is a long time, church. This is a little time. What? He's said that we have 70 years. Saw today that someone who lived in Japan had lived to be 117. Even if we lived to be 117, which I don't want to, but even if we did, how does that, that's not even a drop in the bucket to eternity. We're to produce fruit. So what are some lessons that we can learn from this fig tree? The greater the privilege, the greater the responsibility. The great writer Stan Lee put it this way. I thought I'd get a chuckle from Matthew back there. Maybe he's asleep. Oh, okay. All right. He says, "With great power comes great responsibility." If you don't know who Stan Lee is, he's the one that writes Spider-Man. All right? But the Bible, where does that come from? The Bible says in Luke chapter 12, verse 48, but he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. So he just borrowed it from the Bible. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. How many Bibles do you have in your home? I have no idea because there's so many of them. There's one at least on every electronic device that we have. There's a bunch on my bookshelf. There's one by my bed. There's this one I leave at church. It's my church Bible. How many do we have? A lot. There's no one in America that cannot get to a Bible. Either they can Google it online, they can buy the app, they can get an app for free even, or they can pay a dollar at the dollar store and buy a good KJV Bible. A dollar. There's no one in America that can't get a Bible. So would you say that we've been given much? I think we have. How many opportunities does God give us to pray, to witness, to share the good news? How many opportunities have we had? Every Saturday we have an opportunity to go out and to witness. Every day at your job. Every day, when you have to stop and get gas, which thankfully it's not every day for me, you have an opportunity to at the people that you come run into at the gas pump. You have those opportunities. But we squander them. We call it the good news, but when something good happens, don't we want to spread it? Brother Tom, if you finally scratched off that winning lottery ticket, I'm just teasing. Brother Tom, if you inherited $1 million, wouldn't you want people to know? Well, maybe not. They might come asking you for money, right? Downside. That's the downside. Justin, if you were given a brand new car, don't you think you'd be bragging about it?
Yep.
When good news happens, you want to tell people. Oh, here's a good one. Rissa, when Justin proposed, didn't you want to tell people about that? Not really. When good things happen, we want to tell people about it. Well, we have the good news that Christ died for every one of our sins, and we should be wanting to go and tell others about that. We shouldn't have to be begged to go out and hang a door hanger on a doorknob. We should be doing that regardless if anybody tells us to or not, because God told us to. Doesn't matter what Brother Brent, Pastor, anybody, your Sunday school teachers, doesn't matter that they tell you to. God told us to. We'll be held accountable for all these privileges that we waste and we squander. What was more important? The wood, hay, and stubble? The greater the responsibility, the greater the judgment. That's not as good as the other, I think. Did you hear me? The greater the responsibility, the greater the judgment. It would certainly be better not have known the Lord's will than to know it and not do it. You know, over the course of my life, I've been in church all my life, and there's been a few people that I've known that they knew that they were called to the ministry. And sadly, very few of them follow through. Each and every one of you might be able to think about someone that you know, whether in this church or another church, that was on fire for God, said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to be a missionary. I'm going to be an evangelist. And then they're not even in church anymore. It's better not even to know the will of God than to know it and not do it. Here, of course, the fig tree was entirely cursed from the roots up. The Jews had been given an awesome privilege with many assurances and promises in God's word. God had promised Abraham that his seed would be like the sand of the sea. Think about all the Jews in the world. They're scattered from where? All over every inhabited continent. And God has gathered them back into Israel at this time, some of them. But there wouldn't be room enough for all of them. So God kept his promise to Abraham. And that was when Abraham didn't even have a son. God keeps his promises. But again, we have to remember, the greater the responsibility, the greater the judgment. You know, when I was younger, I had the opportunity to do a lot of bad stuff. And there was some stuff that I did that was not so right, so good either. But you know what kept me from doing a lot of bad stuff? Was knowing the consequences. I didn't want to deal with the consequences of doing the wrong thing. I didn't want the consequences, one, of my parents getting upset with me and getting yelled at or grounded or whatever it happened to be. I didn't want that to happen. But there's other consequences, too, that I knew that I didn't want. You know, smoking was around when I was a kid. I think more people smoked back then than they do now. I think people are getting to the point where they're not smoking. Well, they're not smoking tobacco anymore. They're smoking marijuana is what they're doing. That's much better for us. Alcohol, people are still with alcohol. I had the opportunity to do that, but I didn't want the consequences. I'd seen my grandfather, I'd seen my dad, both drunk. And I didn't want to be that. I didn't want to have that consequence. I didn't want the consequences that I saw them go through. And I didn't want to be that way to my family. Thankfully, my dad got saved, and that wasn't an issue much growing up. From the time I was, I think, 4, he got saved. So I don't remember much of that. But I didn't want any of that to deal with. So why take the first sip? That kept me from it, the consequences. Because of their neglect of the inner life, they severely were judged by God. Of course, as believers, we shall escape the wrath of God, but the judgment seat of Christ will be a very serious matter. You got to remember that there's the judgment seat of Christ and the great white throne judgment. There's two different judgments. One is for the saved and one is for the unsaved. The saved is what we talked about earlier, that your works, what you've done for Christ, is going to be judged. It's not whether that you're saved or not. You're already in heaven. You're just judged on what you did for Christ. The great white throne judgment is whether you're saved or not. And I think that might be even sadder for us sometimes than the great white throne or the judgment seat of Christ. Judgment seat of Christ, we'll see that what we did and what we didn't do. But at the great white throne judgment, I believe we'll be present there. And we'll see the missed opportunities that we had to keep people from going to hell. We'll see those friends that we didn't witness to because we were too scared. We'll see those people that we come in contact with. And they just didn't look like our kind of people to talk to. We'll see those family members that maybe we only saw once a year at a reunion, but so what if it's on Sunday? They wouldn't know either way. It'll be a time of shame and a time of weeping. There's popular culture says there'll be no tears in heaven. Well, that's a lie. There'll be tears in heaven. It's because it says, Revelation 21:4 says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Why? Revelation 20:15 says, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire." We'll see those people cast in the lake of fire, and we will be crying. We will, because of those missed opportunities. Missed opportunities for service. no one can make you do anything. You know, it says there's only two things you have to do: die and pay taxes. You really don't even have to pay taxes. You deal with the consequences, but you really don't even have to pay taxes. It's your choice. What do you want to live with? Do you want to live with the gold, silver, precious stones, and being able to show the Father that you were busy, that you were producing fruit? Or do you want to be like the withered up fig tree that has nothing to give, that Jesus walked away from? Do you want to be the person that is standing there and saying, man, I told that one. I told that one. I told that one. If they would have just listened to me, they wouldn't have to go to hell. Or are you going to be the one over there sobbing because I didn't tell that one? I forgot to tell that one. That's that one I should have told. Does it mean anything to you? All right, let's get with our partners and pray. Let's see.